Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 56 of Season 3 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1988 Bruce Willis action flick Die Hard, one minute at a time. I'm Rob, and once again, we're on location this week. This time, I'm going to be spending all week in Baltimore, you know, and my host, and who is my guest, is Nick Rehak, formerly of the French Toast Sunday. And he's got his own podcast, which he'll tell everyone about music.
Yeah.
You know, not movies, but music is still good.
Yeah. Some music that might be featured in movies.
That's right. So welcome to the show, and thank you for hosting me this week.
Thank you for having me this week. It's a little bit of both.
Yeah. That's right. All right, great. So Minute 56 begins with James finishing his report and ends with Marco starting to shoot on the sides of the conference table. So, yeah, I mean, this is another great minute in this movie. You know, there's just tons of them. You know, actually, I'm trying to think of a minute that's not good in this movie, that doesn't have anything going on. So we have James, who's, you know, standing on the top of the tower. He sees John starting to smash the window with the chair.
Mm-hmm.
And what he does is he finishes giving his report. We don't hear exactly what he says or who he says it. You know, he's saying it in German or whatever it is, and then right away it cuts to a shot of Heinrich, who's on a headset, and he's receiving instructions. You know, he's motioning that he's receiving all the instructions, and what he then says is, Marco, er ist am 34. Geh schnell 34. So, you know, forgive me once again for my lack of German pronunciation, but what that translates as, Marco, he's on 34. Go fast to 34. So Marco is then able to, he jumps down, grabs his gun as he's jumping down. And, I mean, there's like really strange graffiti on the wall.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
It says Merry Christmas. It's like CH. Oh. It almost finishes Merry Christmas.
You know what? I didn't even think of that. I saw the RRYCHR. You're right. I didn't even think to. Yeah. I was trying to figure out what that could be. Yeah, that is Merry Christmas. No question about that.
And it even makes you wonder who is up there to spray paint that and why is it up there?
Yeah, and it's a new building.
Yeah.
You know, they're in the middle of construction. So who's going to spray paint Merry Christmas on the wall there? Wow. Okay, that's a great catch.
Yeah.
Again, I got the letters, but you were able to put it together. So that works really well. You know, and then Marco takes off in a sprint. And then we get a shot of Heinrich,
mm-hmm.
who is like a little frustrated, and he looks like someone who just doesn't want to trust the person that he's with. You know, cuz like he's looking at himself, he's like, "Okay, can Marco take care of this on his own? Or do I need to go do something?" And then you see that he jumps down and starts to descend also. So obviously, you know, he doesn't trust Marco.
No.
For whatever reason it is. And then the shot switches back to Al and Eddie back in the lobby.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Al then says to Eddie, "You don't mind if I take a look around, do you?" And Eddie, without even looking back, just motions with his arm and says, "No, help yourself."
Real nonchalant for talking to a cop.
Yeah.
Just like, ah, okay, go ahead, fine.
Like, yeah. Now, what time do you think this is?
What time or what town?
What time?
Time?
Town, it's L.A.
It's, no. Time, I would have to say it's around like 8, 9 o'clock. They say it's a party. Holiday parties wouldn't start until about 6, maybe even 7 if we're in the building. But there's no way it can't be that late.
Right.
It can't be so late.
All right. I'm even willing to posit that it's even earlier than what you're saying, because if you think about it, sunset was at 4:50.
Mm.
Okay, which means that John showed up at around 4:45, and the party was already going on at 4:45.
Okay.
Okay. So it's hard to believe that it's been 4 hours since the party
started
and everything like that. My assumption is it's right now around 6:30, 7 o'clock, something like that.
I would, yeah, I'll buy that. I'll absolutely
That's
buy
what I would
that.
Think. But the way that Eddie is acting and the way that Powell is acting, it's as if it's the middle of the night.
Yeah, especially when, you know, a couple scenes earlier, he's at the convenience store.
Right.
And it doesn't feel like a kind of late afternoon, evening. It feels a lot, like you said, like middle of the night, like he's just stocking up on some snacks.
Yeah, well, for his wife.
Well, he says they're for his wife.
Yeah.
But. Could be a red herring.
She's pregnant. Yeah. Yeah. But, and then we get to hear a little bit of the game that that Eddie is watching,
mm-hmm.
and we hear them say, you know, 7-0 Notre Dame, the Irish driving 74 yards in 8 plays. And, I mean, we discussed this a little bit last week, but it's really funny. This is Christmas Eve. There yeah. is no college football game that plays on Christmas Eve.
No.
At again, let's say that it's 8 o'clock even. Okay, it doesn't matter what time it is. But let's say it's 8 o'clock in LA.
Mm-hmm.
That means it's much later on the East Coast.
Yeah.
You know, Notre Dame is playing, let's say it's either Eastern time or Central time. So let's say it's either 3 hours ahead or 4 hours ahead. But, you know, that we're talking midnight.
Yeah. And if you look at the footage on the screen.
And he's talking as if he's watching a game live. He's
yeah.
not watching something that he recorded earlier.
Right, right.
You know, on Thanksgiving.
And even if you look at the footage, I mean, it looks like a game during daytime.
Yeah.
The way the sun is setting and the way the light's headed. If it was so lit up, the lighting and the guys would be four-way split. It wouldn't just be off to the one side like they are.
Right.
Shadow-wise.
Yeah, I mean, something's really fishy here. They didn't do their due diligence.
They
messed
up
one.
Somewhere.
Yeah, there's just no way of believing that this game is really going on at this time. You know, but whatever. I guess that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
You know, and then one of the things that I love is the way that Eddie is just—he's pretty much ignoring Al.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he motions to him with his arm.
Yeah,
yeah, go ahead, no problem.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care. Do whatever you want. You know, very nonchalant the way that he does it. You know, even if he might need to act or something like that. You know, he doesn't have a gun next to him or
no.
anything like that. And you know, I'm assuming he has a gun.
He's got to have it somewhere tucked away.
So Eddie, like, very nonchalantly, you know, deals with this.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if he's got a gun on the side or anything like that, you know. But, you know, what and then they give some, I mean, the info that they give on the game is also really weird.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is football. So, you know, they should say, like, what quarter it is.
Because
they start off by saying 27 seconds left to the first period.
Yeah, that don't make any sense at all.
That doesn't make any sense with football.
No.
I mean, it should be, you know, to the quarter, you know, for the quarter, not the period. So, I don't really know. We get a shot of John. He's back upstairs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he's pretty annoyed, and he goes, this f***. And then he hears something and quickly turns around and you know, aims his gun right at Marco, who has just run into the room.
Yeah.
And he goes, freeze, motherfucker. Drop it. And Marco puts up his arm and says, don't.
Really selling it, too.
Yeah, seriously.
Really like, no, man, I'm not going to do anything. All right, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's, put the f***ing down. Put the gun down. Okay, don't shoot. Drop the f***ing gun. You know, and like, I do you think he's doing it to stall?
I think he's doing
it. He shouldn't know that Heinrich is coming also.
Right. I don't think he knows, but I think he's doing it to find, like, a good vantage point of, like, okay, what can I do? Where can I go to position myself for a kill shot or to stop him in some way? But then I think he hears the footsteps and the scream, and he knows, like, all right, as soon as I drop, he's gonna fire. So then he drops.
Right. And, you know, because at this point Heinrich yells at him and says, Marco, duck.
That too.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess from that perspective, Heinrich is happy that he actually, you know, went to go check on Marco, because you can't really trust Marco unless he's flying out the window, you know. But it's done really well.
Yeah.
You know, and so John then opens fire and immediately takes out Heinrich, because Marco has ducked. So Heinrich sort of saved his life.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then we get a shot of Al again, and Al is just walking around, looking up, looking around, and I like the shot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jan de Bont does an amazing job with a lot of the shots here, but this is just an amazing shot because we see that there's someone standing on the side with a gun. If Al gets too far, or gets too close, you know, there's someone prepared to get rid of him. We don't know who that is.
Mm-mm.
You know, it could be any of the, I guess, 10 terrorists or 11 terrorists that are still alive. Well, actually, it's not Eddie. So there's a number. It could be 10 different people because Tony's dead and Heinrich is now dead.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's no one else who's dead. We know it's not Hans. So it could be any of them. Maybe later on when we get to the script, it'll tell us who it's supposed to be. I don't know.
And this happens a lot in the film, where people are seconds away from death and they don't realize it.
Yes.
It's, if I took three more steps, I'm done. If I wait two more seconds, I'm done. There's so much tension that builds and builds and builds. And at some points, it lets you go for just like a slight bit of comedy. But even the comedy, there's still tension and it's still like life is on the line.
Yeah, completely. And I mean, they do it so well because we know. We see what's happening. Mm-hmm. We see that Al is literally seconds away from being killed. You know, and then he just like goes, oh, the hell with this.
Mm-hmm.
And decides to, you know, that he's had enough of it and just you know, turns around. I wonder what makes him, you know, realize that he should really, you know, get out of there.
He
realizes it's just nothing's going on.
Yeah.
It's a wild goose chase and that's it.
And I think because, you know, the other guy's playing so nonchalant. He's playing so laissez-faire and like, I don't care. Like, almost like you're wasting my time kind of thing. To where he's like, I guess nothing is going on because he doesn't sense, you know, there's no weird feeling. You know, sometimes for that scene, the guy's going to be like shaking a little bit or sweating and they'll focus into like a part of the body, like an eye that's twitching or sweat that's dropping and the guy gets suspicious.
Right.
But we don't see that. He's just like, yeah, I don't care. Go.
Right.
So.
And I love how like Marco does a flip. He like jumps to the side, flips, and then works his, then like jumps onto the table.
Yeah. You
know, like I think it's a bit, it's an extra bit of acrobatics that's
it's
really
very
not
extra.
Needed. It's really not needed.
No, not
but
at
it,
all.
But it looks cool. You know, if you didn't watch it, you know, like he ducks after Heinrich and then like he does a flip onto the table.
Mm-hmm. All he had to do was just step onto a chair and then the table and then he's there.
That's right. That's right. Maybe he was trying to keep low. Maybe because he doesn't know who's up.
Could
against.
Be. Could be.
You know, and at this point, Marco is on top of the table and John is somehow crawling under the table,
mm-hmm.
which does not look comfortable at all to be doing the way that he's doing it. And Marco then shoots on both sides of the table, which again, it's not really to get John. I think it's to keep John under the table.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know where it's going to come from. It can come from any of the shots, come any of the sides. Doesn't really make a difference. You know, and then, you know, Marco then looks back and starts screaming in German. It's hard to really understand what it is he's saying. The, mm-hmm. the subtitles don't say what he's saying. So it just is shouting in German. You know, so. But there's also, you know, a lot of statements about this movie that like most that. Of the German is not right. You know, it's incorrect German.
More like gibberish German.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know German, so I wouldn't be able to tell you if it is gibberish German or not. But gibberish German sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that sounds interesting. So is there, and that's how the minute ends.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else you want to say about this minute before we get into the script?
I do like, and we can touch on it more in the next episode. I like the design of the table and how it zigzags. I feel like we don't see that a lot in film. Even now, it's just usually a straight line table. I don't even think we've ever seen it at like a circular table.
Right.
It's always just been a straight line, but to see that kind of zigzag.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think of the how
it's not practical.
It's not practical.
Not practical at all.
You're having a meeting, and you know the idea of having a meeting is that people can see each other.
Yeah.
So that's why you either use a round table or a square table or whatever. But to use a zigzag table, you know, you can see the person across from you, and that's it.
Yeah, it doesn't.
You can't see anyone else.
Maybe it's
some feng shui Japanese type of idea. Of how to do something like this. I don't know.
Could be.
Absolutely no clue. But it just looks fun, you know, the way that they do it. But who knows? All right, so the script has a few minor discrepancies, as with most of the movie. All right, so one of the things that they have is a great description of Eddie when he's walking with Powell through the lobby. It says, Eddie watches confidently as Powell moves through the lobby, looking for signs of trouble. You know, and Eddie does do that. He's pretty confident in everything that's going on here because, as you said, he's very laissez-faire,
mm-hmm.
you know, nonchalant about everything. You know, and then they tell us that around the corner from where Powell is moving, so Uli is standing there with the gun.
Okay,
so they tell us who it is that's you know that's holding the gun, Uli. If you need a reminder,
Uli with the Uzi.
That's right, Uli with the Uzi. Do you remember which actor plays him?
Not offhand.
Al Long.
Okay.
Who you know is known for being a henchman in a lot of Joel Silver movies. So he's definitely great here. And basically so that's one of the changes. Another one is that instead of McClane screaming out, and you know getting upset that nothing's going on, so he basically says, "Oh man, please no." You know, I think Bruce Willis delivers it better in the movie.
It makes you wonder why that. Well, I guess it's more at this point he's just feeling stressed. And the anger's kind of subsiding, and it's more like a survival. And he's like, oh, no, I really need this to happen. You know,
yeah.
Almost like he's pleading with someone or something.
Right. And then instead of screaming at Marco to put the gun down, he says, drop it or you're a rug stain.
Which, there's no rugs. I think maybe that floor is carpeted, but I don't see rugs. There's already window stains, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And that scene always catches me off guard. I always forget.
Well, when they shoot him or when we walk through it last week where we walk through and we see all the blood and guts on the...
That.
Okay.
That. And then it just stays.
But you think I know why it's there? It's to let us know that he's back in the same place that he was before.
Okay.
It's just a reference.
A continuity thing.
You and I were talking before, you know, in the green room. About how this movie has lots of references that appear later on.
Yeah.
But this is a good one that works backwards. It's telling us, okay, we're in the same place where Takagi got shot. You know, we saw last week the blood stain on the carpet in that room. Okay. So, again, it's telling us, it's helping us understand where John is at all points. You know, it's like the whole point where they showed us the pinups. It's the same thing.
There
really is no use for the pinups except for to let us know that John is back in the same place that he was before.
Okay.
You know, in this whole maze and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, one of the things that they talk about in the script also is they say that Holly and everyone else, they can hear the gunshots that are happening above, which, again, isn't needed. You know, they are like, if he's on 34, they're 4 floors down. Yeah, I don't think they could really hear it.
It'd be muffled, or it would sound like maybe a chair moving or something, like just kind of softly tapping.
Yeah, I mean, they say in the script that they faintly hear it, but the fact that they can hear it... So I'm glad that they cut that part out where we don't get to see it. And then it talks about that when Al is walking through the lobby, it says, all Powell can hear is let it snow, let it snow. He stops just a yard from seeing the armed terrorist and turns back. And then instead of him saying... oh, the hell with this. He says, screw this. That's the difference. But I like his delivery in the movie also. I think it works much better.
Absolutely.
And then in the boardroom, it says, Marco springs on top of the huge table. McClane rolls on his back so he can cover either angle. But it is clear that Marco is in the more enviable position.
Yeah. He springs all right.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And that's pretty much how the script ends this minute also.
Yeah.
So every Monday we have a segment called Die Hard on a Monday, where my guests will give their top 5 Die Hard doppelganger type movies. You know, movies that you know, one man against many or whatever it is. So what have you got for us, Nick?
Well, I gotta start with kind of a simple one and one that's probably been said time and again. Number 5 would have to be Dark Siege. Not Dark Siege, goodness. Under Siege.
Under Siege, the first one or second one?
The first one.
Okay, the second one's Dark Territory. That's
right. That's I jumped the gun on that one.
Yeah.
With that one, my grandmother introduced me to action films at a young age, believe it or not. Steven Seagal films, the James Bond films, Lethal Weapon, and next to the Rodgers and Hammerstein box was the Die Hard 1 and 2 DVD box set.
Hey.
So.
Rightfully so.
Yeah. And her being a big Steven Seagal fan, seeing Under Siege, especially on the ship and everything, I just thought it was a really cool place to have, you know, everything like that happening. So that's always stuck out to me. And I was younger, and the lady popping out of the birthday cake, kind of a positive for young Nick here, finding out who he is in middle school.
I understand that. But, I mean, personally, I'm not the biggest fan of Steven Seagal, but I love Under Siege.
Yeah, it's fun.
I think the second one isn't as good, but, you know. The first one is just done really well.
Yeah.
And they finally got him to cut off that stupid, ponytail.
Yeah, and which is, it's
stupid,
nice.
Stupid, greasy ponytail that he has. It is, right?
It's got a weird shine to it that I'm personally not a fan of.
Yeah, me neither.
My fourth would have to be Con Air.
Jay's going to be upset. Jay and Mark are going to be upset that it's so low.
Yeah, they will. Well, the problem is they asked me to be on their podcast about it, and I hadn't seen the film beforehand. So this is my first time seeing it. I don't have as deep a relationship with it. I enjoyed it. I think it's neat that the whole thing's on a plane, and it plays a little bit differently than like Air Force One or something like that, which takes me to number three, and that's Air Force One. I enjoy Harrison Ford, don't get me wrong, but Gary Oldman is where it's at. If Gary Oldman is in something, I'm going to see it. Like, there's no questions about it. The Professional, yeah, it's weird looking back at that movie now, especially with the director and, you know, whatever he's got going on, but Gary Oldman just nails it. Yeah. Like, in anything, he absolutely nails it.
Yeah. And also the very young Natalie Portman, you know, all that
Stuff that gets going on.
I mean, she gives a great performance
there. Absolutely. But it's still kind of weird.
Yeah, there's some weird things about that movie. It would definitely not be made today.
No. Ooh, no. Absolutely not.
But I'm glad it was made in 95.
Yeah, because now it got under that cusp.
Yeah, there's certain scenes that are just like, you know, the whole scene where they're dressing up and, you know, as different actors and stuff like that.
Which I get.
I fast forward through. I get it, but I fast forward through because it's just too...
It's creepy.
It's too creepy.
Yeah. My number two would be Under Siege 2. I have a softer
place...
I jumped the gun
by saying I didn't like it.
No, it's fine.
Oh, well.
There's just something about it. I can't explain it, but I found myself...
Because of Eric Bogosian?
Maybe. I think I like the villain there a little bit more than I did in the first one. And I don't know. There's something about it. I have this weird thing where I always prefer the sequel, or I more prefer the sequel to the first one. Obviously, Godfather 2 to The Godfather. I'm a big...
Do you like Die Hard 2 more than Die Hard?
No. Okay. Surprisingly.
Okay.
But, like, I like Lost World Jurassic Park more than I do the first Jurassic Park.
You're really pissing Jay off today.
I know. He and I have had that conversation many, many times, and he doesn't like it whatsoever. But my number one would have to be The Raid.
Okay. That makes sense.
The Raid starts out where it's a group of guys, but they slowly get, you know, tossed out, and there's one guy left, and he's just rocking through the whole rest of this building. Similar to, like, Judge Dredd, almost.
Yes. Yeah. I find those two movies so similar.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, we're talking about diehard doppelgangers, but those two are definitely doppelgangers of one another.
It'd be a fantastic double feature to see.
Yeah.
So that would
actually, I don't know if it would be a fantastic double feature because it's pretty much the same movie twice.
It'd be
like watching the same thing twice.
It'd be fun, though, to look for parallels and, you know, that kind of thing. Why one film takes maybe in this direction, why is one more gun-heavy than action-heavy, so on and so forth.
Right, okay, I can
or
can
for a comparison in science.
you want to do it from a research perspective. You're looking at it scientific. Yeah. You know, how can you scientifically look at these movies and say, all right, so, you know, is it better that it's, you know, Singapore? Where is it from?
Thailand.
Okay. Or is it better having, you know, and obviously we're not talking about the Stallone Judge Dredd. You know, that was horrendous.
Urban.
We're talking about the Carl Urban one, which...
More fun.
Much more fun.
Mm-hmm.
Much more fun.
Mm-hmm.
And, but again, which one came out first between Judge Dredd and The Raid? I think they both came out like almost the same time.
I want to say you're right. Let's look. The Raid.
I mean, I think one of them was maybe 2011. The other one was 2012.
The Raid is 2011. And Dredd was 2012.
All right, I'm close.
So within a couple months of each other.
Yeah. And I doubt that they copied it.
No, I don't think you could.
Yeah, but, I mean, Dredd was also built up as a franchise.
Yeah, which
I... But it didn't do well. I wonder if it didn't do well because of The Raid. Because it was so similar to The Raid.
Maybe, but I feel like The Raid was much more of a...
Because The Raid got a franchise.
It did. Which I love. But I feel like with something like that... The Raid definitely doesn't have that grab that Dredd does, and it's not like The Raid was released nationwide in theaters and was built up. It was one of those things you kind of just found, you know, on Netflix or somewhere, and you were like, oh, okay, and then you got into it.
But that's also because of the fact that it's a foreign film. You know,
that's true.
It's not a foreign film where you really need to understand what's being said.
Right.
But I think people didn't know that at the beginning.
No. They kind of see a foreign film and they take a step back. And then at the time, Gareth Edwards, nobody really knew who he was. He hadn't done Godzilla yet.
Right.
So, which is a very different film than what The Raid is.
Yes.
Just a little bit.
Just slightly different. Slightly different. You know, one's a monster movie. Oh, actually, they're both part of franchises.
That's true.
You know, you can look at it from that perspective. And Gareth Edwards also, you know, did something in Star Wars. So, you know.
That's also true.
He's a franchise guy.
He's a big fan. I misspoke earlier. It's Indonesia is where the raid is from, not Thailand.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right, Indonesia, Thailand.
They're very close.
They're very close. They're just like a couple thousand miles away from each other or something like that.
Yeah, a little bit of water between the two.
Yeah, that's true. Very good. All right, Nick, so you want to tell people how they can get in touch with you?
Yeah, absolutely. You can find me on Twitter, at TheRehack, T-H-E-R-E-H-A-K. And that's really it. I don't do a whole lot of social media outside of Twitter. You can find my show. It's called Rehack Radio. It's just me hanging out, playing some songs that I like, even some songs that I don't like, just to talk about them and the stories behind them. You can find that on Mixcloud.com. And again, that's Rehack Radio.
All right, and finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on my website, which is movierobminute.com, or you can find me on Twitter or on Facebook. So, Nick, you going to let me stay here another day at least?
I absolutely will.
All right, so until tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay.